Hey guys, welcome to the SJNP.com podcast. I'm your host, Devil Vamp. Welcome this week. I got a couple shout outs. I want to shout out the AWWIR You Ready podcast. It's AWWIR. If you haven't listened to them, please take a listen. They are awesome. And I want to shout out to my brother-in-law, Scott. He listens on a weekly basis, even though he doesn't like wrestling, but he still listens to us. So I greatly appreciate you, brother. Hope we're bringing you some laughs this week. Got a couple special guests for you lined up, and I hope you enjoy. Peace. Welcome to Raw in Jericho! Now get the cards, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints, and across the nation. And it's a sin, the cards, the fiends, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out. We've just got two words for you. All right, guys, welcome to the DSJNP.com podcast. This is your host, Devil Vamp, for this week, and I have two important guests. We have Exodus, as always. It's X-E-D-U-S 4 J-C on Twitter. X, how you doing this week, man?
Pretty good, bro. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. And we have a very, very, very special guest, Exodus's twin brother, Eric. Eric, how you doing, man?
What up? Thanks for the intro, man. Good to be here.
Not a problem, my friend. Not a problem. Welcome to the podcast. Again, this is the DSJNP.com podcast. Welcome all. If you have any feedback, please give it to us, DSJNP.com@gmail.com, Facebook/DSJNP, and always, always find us on Twitter at DSJNP.com. Once again, it's Exodus, X-E-D-U-S, 4, the number 4, J-C, on Twitter. Please follow him. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know. Thank you, guys. All right, guys. First up on the agenda this week, we have Raw. Now, we all know the Raw before WrestleMania is going to be what? It's going to be pretty lame. It's going to be all about preparing for WrestleMania. So I just want too good and too bad of what you guys liked on Raw. So we'll go with you, Eric. You're first up. You're the special guest this week. What's going on? I want too good and too bad about Raw. Why are they good and why are they bad? Give them to me.
Well, I would say one of the good things that I liked about Raw was the segment with John Cena and the Wyatt. I love what they did with this. It was, you know, I, from the beginning of this feud, I thought that this could be really good. Both of these guys can talk. Obviously, you know, they can wrestle pretty good. So I think it's going to be a good match. But, you know, to me, it was starting to get a little monotonous. I needed something different in it. You know, I really like Bray Wyatt, but I believe that you know, you kind of know what you're going to get with him. He does, like, two types of promos. He does the Titantron promo, or he does the one out in front of the, you know, in the middle of the aisle. So they really mixed it up this week with Cena having the match, people playing the mind games with them, turning the tables on them. So, you know, I really liked that. I thought that was good.
All right, what else you got?
I would say the game vignette. I know we're going to break that. I'm sure we're going to break that down. Talk about that a little bit more. I really liked what Stephanie and Triple H did with that. I just thought that was so good. They just kind of took a crap on some of the other superstars from the past and present, you know. A lot of guys that have, interestingly enough, a lot of guys that have been in TNA, you know, I thought that there were only two guys, Jericho and Goldberg, that had been in TNA that were on there. But I really liked how they just really played him up. And, I mean, because, you know, people, whether you love him or you hate him, you know, some people get tired of Triple H and think he's trying to cater to himself. And so he's really kind of playing on that. that whole aspect, and I really like that.
Oh, he is totally playing on that. He is just saying, I am the best, I'm the greatest, I am the most awesomest guy in the whole entire world. Bring it. That's what he's doing. Essentially, he's saying, I'm going to put myself in front of every single other person in the world, and what are you going to do about it, is what he's saying. And yeah, you're totally right. He's playing into everybody's hands. All right, give me too good, give me too bad.
You need too bad now.
Give me too bad. Two bad things you didn't like about Raw. You got to give good. Got to give with the good. Give with the bad. Give with the bad. Give with the good.
Okay, I would say the Undertaker and Brock segment. I didn't watch the whole thing. I caught some highlights, but you know, it just kind of seemed like old hat. You know, I don't know. I mean, this whole thing, I really would have liked to see a little bit more with this. Not that I don't think it's going to be a good match. I mean, I do like some aspects of this. You know, but you know what you're going to get with the whole streak feud at this point. You know, this one hasn't been as interesting as the other ones in the past, and so this their little standoff and you know Brock with the F5, it just kind of seemed played out. Then I'd say the other bad that I had was just Carlito's little brothers, what's their names? Those guys winning. Anytime those guys win, that's bad. So I would say that eight man tag with those guys. I'm really disappointed that the Rhodes brothers aren't in that that four-way tag match at WrestleMania. I'm really disappointed in that. They don't need to be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. They should be in this match. And so Carlito's little brothers, they Los Matadors or whatever their names are. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Who cares? Who cares if they win? I don't care about their little stupid bull guy. You know, like El Dorito or whatever, El Toro. You know, anytime they win, it's bad. I said that's my bad.
All right, Exodus, what you got, man? You got too good, too bad, or too bad, too good? What you got?
Too good. I have to agree with Eric on the Cena versus Wyatt feud. You know, definitely it was. It really came to a head here leading into WrestleMania. I definitely like the dynamic that's going on. You know, putting Cena in the sheet mask and the Wyatt, like. Because you know we've seen it getting freaked out all this whole time, and now we see the tables turn for a second, and you got something that freaks the Wyatts out. They're like, "What? Somebody's weird like us? What?" So you know, I really like that. The other thing that I thought was good was definitely the vignette too, and just with Triple H. And I don't want to get into that too much because I know we're going to break that down further. But definitely like the usage of that. I liked how Daniel Bryan came out there and attacked him at the end. That's my other good, is how they kept that, how they got that going leading up into WrestleMania. I think it's good for him to really come out there and just attack Triple H out of nowhere, just come out the crowd, you know, like a little rat just crawl out of a hole and just attack Triple H. So I really like how they did that and get Triple H just fuming mad leading into WrestleMania, you know, and him and Stephanie all said it's definitely what needed to happen. And my two bad, I would say, would be, I didn't like the match between Roman Reigns and Kane. And I'll say, and maybe someone disagree, the only reason, and not to say that I thought they did horrible, like they were wrestling horrible, but I didn't like it because I wanted more. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm so sick of disqualifications all the time, and I'm so sick of all these little things to end a match, you know, that are not win or lose, you know, like where we don't get a clear winner or loser or result, you know? So I didn't really like that. I was like, man, Roman Reigns versus Kane. I mean, I really like to see, you know, Roman Reigns versus the Big Red Monster Kane. Like, that would be cooler. But, you know, it is what it is. And I just thought it could have been better. But then having them come in there and attack them. And then my other bad, I'd say, would be Piper's Pit.
Really?
I just thought that was kind of, you know, blown out of proportion with everybody.
You really didn't like Piper's Pit?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Wow.
I mean, I like the concept of Piper's Pit as it is, but just, you know, the way it was going last night, it was just a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I have to agree with Exodus, man. It kind of got way off course, and I think Titus O'Neil can be a little bit of a buzzkill sometimes, and I think once he came out there and got Piper's face, we're going, ooh, 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 you know, we don't need all that. A little buzz.
All right. So my turn is too good. Absolutely. That Triple H vignette was one of the best vignettes I have seen them produce in a long time. It was so over the top and so in your face. The damn thing was voiced over by Stephanie. How more of an endorsement from the old school running? We run the WWE. We're giving this guy the reins. We know he runs the company. We know he does good. He married my daughter. This is what's going on. He is the game. He's called the game for a reason. And you know what? I have a signed picture in my other room that proves he's the fucking game, because he is the game. Hands down, he knows more about wrestling and more about the semantics and the psychology and the promotion and the hoopla and everything than anybody else in the business today. Can you guys name somebody else that knows more about him?
Not really.
No, because he knows.
He knows all sides of the.
He learned from Vince McMahon. He is the one that has the key. The only one that could come in, and I can see this happening after WrestleMania. I can see this happening. Shane comes back after WrestleMania. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's a prediction or anything like that. I'm just saying it could happen. That's all I'm saying. Triple H loses to Daniel Bryan. He seems a lot weaker than he was before WrestleMania. He loses to Daniel Bryan. Monday Night Raw comes out. He comes out to congratulate Daniel Bryan on a well-fought match and a well-fought second match, because we all know Daniel Bryan's going to win the championship. And Shane comes out and goes, the game's over. That's it. You're done. You got beat by a goat. I'm sorry. It's over, dude. Game's over. And then we have the entire year fighting between Stephanie and Triple H and Shane. What do you guys think?
I would say that would be a cool concept, you know, if Shane came back, you know, to sort of take back the reins like that. I think it'd be cool. You know, we haven't seen him in a while. You know, I think it would be great for TV and the drama that's going on. What about you, Eric? What do you think about if Shane came back?
I would love if Shane McMahon came back. As you know, Lex, Shane McMahon is, in my view, the greatest non-wrestling wrestler of all time. That man can put on a street fight like none other. You can throw him up against the wall, throw him up against this graphic screen. I mean, it was great. And I mean, obviously, like, you know, he can cut a promo. You know, he can work the crowd. He can do all those things too, just like any other McMahon. And I think it would be a nice little jolt of energy. You know, I mean, I think you know, you get sometimes you get tired of whoever the Raw general manager is, or whoever the person that's supposed to be the figurehead of the company. So it would be nice to bring him back. We have seen him for a while, and it would just be a little bit, you know, nice little just jolt of Red Bull, if you will. I would love to see Shane McMahon back.
I agree. I would love to see Shane back. I don't know if he's coming back. There's a good possibility he is, but I was just throwing it out there just to say he's not the game anymore. He got beat by a goat. He thinks he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't, obviously, because he got beat by Daniel Bryan, blah, 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 and going on from there. All right. So with that, Triple H. Oh, sorry. I gotta give another good. Another good, I thought, was the tag team match. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. I know a lot of people didn't, but I actually enjoyed it. The funny thing is I saw the Los Matadors as being a little bad. Okay? The only people that you see doing switcheroos with their twin, you guys know being twins, and I know being twins, that doing a switcheroo is a bad thing to do, or a heel thing to do. So, in doing that, that leads them to being more bad guys. I would like to see them being bad guys, because no one likes them anyway. But seeing Ryback and the Americans, now, there was a huge crowd pleaser between Uso cheering and Americans cheering. Obviously, they're your two big top favors. But why are people cheering for the Americans? Because of Cesaro. Right, guys?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I know. Cesaro, it goes without saying. I mean, hands down, it goes without saying. Because of Cesaro. So, with that being said, I don't know how much Jack Swagger matters. I don't know how much any of that stuff matters. It's pretty much Usos versus Americans, the real Americans. Who's going to win? Most likely the Usos are going to win. The real Americans are going to split up because Cesaro is going to go on his own, win the Intercontinental Championship, and then probably win the World Championship because he absolutely deserves it. My opinion only, but that's the two good things. Two bad things I saw, absolutely. The Kane match versus Roman Reigns, not a very good match. Did not entice me at all. The run-in at the end was not good. I didn't enjoy it. Just wasn't a lot of fun. The championship, the main event match, I did enjoy it because of Triple H and Stephanie. I didn't enjoy it because, if you think about it, that could have been our main event at WrestleMania. Wow. That would have been the worst main event of WrestleMania history. Hands down, I'm so glad that we or someone changed someone's mind at WWE, convincing them to go to a triple threat and making it more interesting, because, oh my God, even a non-disqualification between Randy Orton and Dave Bautista is boring. Oh, it was horrible. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that was horrible. All right, so switching out to a different topic, reality era. Everyone is talking about the reality era, and I think the two people that are pushing us towards the reality era is Triple H and Stephanie. Triple H and Stephanie did this amazing, put this on this amazing promo of Triple H being the game and the game and the game. And it's all about the game and how you play it and blah, blah, blah. And you guys know I'm a big fan of Triple H. I love Triple H ever since, you know, I was younger. I'm a huge fan of Triple H. I was a huge fan of Triple H when he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. I have own all of his DVDs. I'm a mark for Triple H, no doubt about it. But in that promo that they talked about, the same thing that they're bringing everybody into the reality era, they talked about their marriage openly in the squared circle. They talked about Fandango being such a huge hit last year and being no one this year. I'm a huge mark for, I love Fandango. He's one of my favorite guys. I think he has the potential of being a huge superstar. The crowd, they enticed the crowd enough for Stephanie initiated the crowd to do a yes chant. Stephanie enticed the crowd to do a yes chant, not Daniel Bryan. Stephanie did it, proving the fact that the crowds are nothing but a bunch of marks copying whatever they feel like they need to be a part of. So this reality era is turning into a Triple H, and Stephanie is taking a hold of it and owning it and gonna run it by the horns. Now, what do you guys think? Eric, what do you think? What do you think about that? What do you think about them? They're talking about there's more smarks than marks now, as in smarks as in who knows what's going on backstage, who knows what's going on, then there are marks. But we have this yes movement or yes chant going around in the crowd that they're all a bunch of pigeons copying whatever they see in the ring. What do you think, Eric?
I think it's pretty cool that they're just coming out in the open and admitting things, you know, basically doing true promos, you know, and like you mentioned, Fandango, you know, talking about how, you know, hey, we served him up to you and you guys just threw him in the trash, basically, you know, and he's still on the active roster. I mean, he had a match later that night. So, I mean, they're not pulling any punches here. So, if that's what the reality era is all about, if that's what the reality era is going to bring, then, you know, that's kind of cool, just being a little bit more transparent with things. And, you know, I've always wondered ever since the Attitude Era if another era was gonna catch on, if people were gonna refer to a period of time in WWE's history, another part of WWE's history as an era, like they did the Attitude Era. And maybe this is it. You know, maybe it's finally gonna catch on. I think they've tried to do that in the past and it really hasn't worked. You know, people have wanted to ever since the Attitude Era, people have wanted to categorize the time since then, and it hasn't worked. So we'll see if it does. But yeah, I like what they're doing. I like the fact that they're kind of saying,
hey, you know, you guys just are a bunch of marks. You know, you just cheer forever for whatever you want. You know, Stephanie with the yes chant, enticing the crowd to do a yes chant. It kind of shows you that, hey, Daniel Bryan doesn't have all the power over this crowd like you think he does.
Yes. I mean, you know, he does. Yes. Yes. You're absolutely right. Daniel Bryan has no power.
But yeah, that's pretty much my take on it.
All right, Exodus, what you got, man? What's your take on the reality error?
Yeah, man, I really like it. I like that we're categorizing something now, and I feel like it will catch on. The big reason why I think that it'll catch on is because of the implements like the network and how much, you know, reality, when you think reality era, you know, you think reality TV, and I mean, they're revealing a lot more just on Raw itself. With just like we saw last night, you know, they're just being more transparent, like Eric said. And then also, too, like I said, with the network, you've got reality shows coming out. We're going to see the real sides of people and how they really act when they're out of character. And then you got, you know, like Total Divas. You know, that's exactly why the reality era is going to stick, my friend. Total. People can choke me all day long for liking that show. But it is something, it is trash TV that pulls you in, man. I was just like, man, because it's really not about, like, I mean, any guy out here can see a beautiful woman wherever he wants to. Let's just be honest. It's really not about, like, for me, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't watch it just because I'm like, oh, man, I want to see a bunch of, you know, beautiful women on this show. Now, I watch it because I want to see how childish they're going to act and just all the dumb stuff they get into, man.
You want to see the dudes.
That's why, like, I want to see, you know, that's why the reality era is going to stick, is because of Total Divas, you know, Legends House, when that comes out, and they see Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Black Big Brownies again. And, you know, that's why it's going to stick, man, because that kind of stuff's going to pull everybody in, you know, and we're getting to this point where it's like, this is what I was thinking. You know, when you said something about now, there's so many people, there's the smarts out there that, like, you know, you can't sneak anything into wrestling anymore. You can't surprise anybody anymore with all these internet fans and outlets out there. You can't do that anymore. So, you know, why not be more transparent? Why not be more real about things? So, yeah, I think it's here. I think it's going to stay for a while, because I'm definitely glad we're getting out of this PG era. I mean, I know it's still PG, but they're starting to get a little more risque. And PG just, you know, it wasn't doing it for me. I just didn't like it. It was too kiddish sometimes.
All right. So for the first thing that we talk about, the reality era, let's talk about that promo real quick, just a real quick thing about it. Then the promo, they showed RVD, Goldberg, Jericho, Booker T, Kurt Angle, Mick Foley, and Jeff Hardy. A lot of these guys, they haven't talked about in a long time. They haven't talked about Goldberg. They haven't talked about Kurt Angle, Mick Foley, or Jeff Hardy, especially Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle in a long time. Jericho, we know, has been off and on. Goldberg, not a big deal. But the two, Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy, we know they specifically left for drug-related instances, especially Jeff Hardy. For God's sake, the FBI raided his house. So for them to talk about that is a very big step into opening the books and going, this is the reality era. So, Exodus, what do you think about that? What do you think about them actually coming clean on a lot of their people? I mean, they're showing Chris Benoit matches on the WWE Network. They're showing Owen Hart matches on the WWE Network. And to be able to show that stuff is a huge step of them going, this is what's in our skeleton closet. We have no more skeletons left. This is what we have. This is real. This is what happens when you do drugs. This is what happens when somebody gets too many concussions. This is what happens. And we're fixing these things. We have stricter rules against these things. But this is real. If you want reality, this is it. So what do you think, Exodus? What do you think, they should continue doing this? Or do you think they should maybe put these skeletons back in their closet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a fan of transparency in some sort of fashion. But, you know, it's one of those things where, why hide, in their case, why hide their skeletons in the closet, you know? Bring them out every now and then and use them for a joke, you know, and make light of them. Why not? We've seen it all before. It was something that it was something that's revealed. Something that has been revealed. You can't just make it a skeleton in the closet later and try to cut, you know, brush it up under a rug or something. Why not bring it out, man? And I think a lot of it has to do with what Eric alluded to earlier, is that a lot of those guys, I think they chose to put into that promo because they're currently working for TNA or have worked for TNA. I think that's why, you know, they've either had some kind of little stint in there or they're still there for right now. So, yeah, I mean, I did like the fact, though, that he mentioned that, hey, these people are great and they're all Hall of Famers. I thought that was kind of commendable of Triple H to...
Yeah, that was like a little tip to the hat. But it, I mean, in reality, he did beat them all, and almost none of them work for the company anymore. I mean, Jericho doesn't work for them right now, but we all know Jericho was the first United champion. Eric, what do you think? What do you think about all those guys? I mean, we've heard rumors about Kurt Angle coming back. Jeff Hardy, I cannot ever see him coming back ever. I mean, he legitimately got busted for some stuff. Jericho, we know, is retired, but he'll probably be back. Goldberg probably will never be back, but he'll probably be inducted to the Hall of Fame. Booker T is a commentary. He's already Hall of Famer. RVD, we know he'll be back probably after WrestleMania. And Mick Foley's retired. We know that. So what do you think, Eric? What's the reality era to Triple H and Stephanie?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they chose Hardy, like you said, and Kurt Angle, you know. I think Kurt Angle is going to come back in some form or fashion to the WWE. He keeps talking about it, you know. Hey, just hold on, guys. As soon as I get done with my TNA contract and coming back, you know, I promise I'll stop, you know, taking pills this time. But yeah, I did think it was interesting that they chose those guys. You know, like you say, especially Jeff Hardy. You know, I don't see him ever coming back. I'm not sure I want him back after I've seen his Willow promos on TNA. I don't know if I even want him back. It's good,
but they're so good, dude.
No, they're not. I don't need that. But as good as he was, as entertaining as he was in the ring with his abilities and all that good stuff, I'm not sure if I'm ready for him to come back to the big stage if he's not ready. Because I think he's, judging by his promos, I think he's doing heroin right now or meth or something.
Yeah.
But I found it interesting that they use those guys, and I think you bring up a great point. You know, this is just the beginning. And like you said, with the WWE Network, they're starting to be more transparent with, hey, you, like, don't put, you know, like you said, they're putting disclaimers before all of Benoit matches. You know, before they were hiding behind all that, they tried to, you know, rub out every reference to Chris Benoit that they could, which didn't really bother me because I never liked Chris Benoit anyway. I'm not just saying that because of what he did. I just never liked him. I know that's blasphemous to some hardcore wrestling fan, you know, maybe pre what he did, but still, you know, it never really bothered me. But at the same time, I think at some point you do have to come to the grips, like, hey, this is like, these were matches, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with what he did that led up to his death and that tragedy. But these were his matches, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with showing his matches and things like that. So yeah, I did find it interesting that they're putting this stuff out there, that they threw these superstars out there and all right,
so we're going down that road. So let me go down this road. If there's nothing wrong with Chris Benoit, what he did in the ring, and we know that to separate from the outside from the inside, then what is wrong with Kurt Angle and what he did? And what is wrong with Jeff Hardy and what he did? You know, when we know Chris Benoit did something much, much worse than what Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy did. But Jeff Hardy is a drug addict, and he's been busted a bunch of times on drugs. And Kurt Angle is the same way. He's addicted to pills, and he's been busted a bunch of times on pills. And I mean, really, there's not much of a difference, you know? So what's the difference, Eric? What's the difference? Why is it shitty to show Chris Benoit and have to show a promo between him and then not showing them in front of Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that I see what you're saying. I think the biggest difference is that Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle are still alive, unlike Chris Benoit, and it's not a wrestler death joke, it's just the truth. But they're still alive, and they're still doing some of the things that they're known for, that they're notorious for. You know, Jeff
going to get hooked on meth again. You know, it's probably going to happen. He's probably going to have to do a squash match on pay-per-view or semi-pay-per-view or whatever they're calling it these days. You know, Sting's not there to say, oh, screw this and let me pin him real quick. You know, he's not there, but somebody else would do it. You know, Bobby Lashley or MVP or whoever. You know, they're going to have to drag his, you know, drug-infested body and then pin him real quick. You know, he's probably going to do something like that. I mean, I'm not putting it past him. I mean, I'm all about second chances and things like that. You know, Kurt Angle, you know, he seems to have himself in a little bit more check. But that's the thing. I think with the whole Crispin Watt situation, you know, time has passed, you know, and time does heal. I'm not going to say all wounds, but time does heal wounds. And I mean, that's a huge wound, no doubt. But you can get past it by putting that disclaimer on there, like, hey, this is what happened. You know, we don't agree with what happened, but here are his matches. You know, if you want to watch them, here they are. And so, I mean, I think the way they're handling it is great. And so the biggest difference is that these guys are still out. They're still doing the things that they're notorious for.
All right, cool. All right, guys. So let's break down some WrestleMania matches. All right. We got the Divas match. First up, we're going to talk about this first because evidently Exodus loves to watch Total Divas. But no, I was just messing with you, Exodus. we got the Divas match. It's pretty much every diva in the WWE except for NXT Divas, which I think is bull crap because Paige, in my opinion, deserves to be the Divas Championship because she can actually wrestle. But we have pretty much every diva. Literally, I'm not going to name them all. Almost every diva available. Who do you think is going to win the match? Why? What's going on? Exodus, we'll go to you first because we've talked to Eric.
Well, with the match itself, I think that the winner is probably going to be Tamina, just because I think they're trying to get the dynamic between, they're trying to slowly create this feud between her and AJ. So I think that Tamina's going to win it. I think that they're trying not to bring too much attention to Tamina before they make that move, but I think I see Tamina getting the title. I don't think it's going to be a great match by any means. You know, I may like Total Divas, but I don't like how the Divas wrestle. Who I'd like to see win is actually Natty Neidhart. So I'll put my wish pick out there. So, you know, that's my make-a-wish pick. And that's my make-a-wish pick. And,
do you have cancer today? Do you have cancer?
No, I don't.
John Cena, can you go and win the championship just for me, please? I have cancer and I'm a 4-year-old.
You went down that road. I'm not going. Man, dude, come on, man. You know that stuff will get you. Dude. When I remember watching CUF.
Eric, what do you think, Eric? Who's going to win the Devious Championship? Not that it really matters. What do you want? What do you want to say? You already talked about Total Divas. What more do you want to say about the Divas?
I wasn't going to talk about Total Divas. I was going to kind of, you know, continue build on your little thing you were doing there. For make a wish scenario. But I was going to say, when I watched Tough Enough, man, one of the saddest parts when they went into that hospital, and then Stone Cold's like, hey, little Jimmy, what are you doing? I got some wrestlers here trying to make it. And then the kid asked him, you know, he's like, will you sign my wrestling ring? Like, dude, I almost teared up, man. So, yeah. Shame on you for going down that road. But I set you up, so I guess it's my fault too.
Exactly. You mentioned, you know, make a wish. Anyway, Eric, who do you think, or do you even care about the Divas Championship at this point?
I don't care too much about it, to be honest with you. You know, I'm kind of done with the butterfly belt. But, you know, and I'm gonna blame Exodus here. And he stole my thunder. He heard me say last night. He heard me call Tamina. And, you know, that was my pick. He's stealing that. Man, whatever, man. You've been stealing my answers all show so far. That's just my chance, man.
Hang on. Audience, this is why you don't put two sets of twins together, because none of us agree on anything. Anyway, Eric, continue. Exodus, shut the fuck up.
Wow. Thank you. Double bam. I don't care too much, but I think Tamina's going to win. I got a question. Is this a Divas Battle Royal? Like, what the hell is the Vicky Guerrero Invitational?
I don't know. Vicky Guerrero.
What kind of matches
I'm literally, okay, I'm reading it on the website right now. We'll put a longest reigning Divas Championship of all, AJ Lee, longest reigning Divas Champion of all time, will put the title on the line against 13 Divas. That is all it says. It doesn't say anything about what this is. I'm assuming that it's like a battle royal with a pin, or it's a iron. What was that thing they used to make us do on the video game? They used to make every diva come down at one time. What was that thing called?
Oh, like a gauntlet?
Yeah, a gauntlet, or I don't know what this is. They don't show any, they don't tell us what it's going to be. All they do is say it's a Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational. That's it. That's all they say.
You said it was her versus 13 Divas?
It's her versus 13 Divas, yes.
Yeah, so it's a Fatal 14 way. That's
yes.
What it is.
The best Fatal 14 way of all time if they were all naked.
They should make this thing as chaotic as possible. Just like have all these girls fight each other at one time. Like I said, Fatal 14 way, just in the ring, out the ring, just all over the place. Cameramen can't even keep up with this crap. Just, you know, diva matches are getting boring these days. There's not as many good, you know, diva wrestlers. You know, Lita's gone, Trish's gone, Nikki's gone. You know, Michelle McCool's gone. So they need to just do something like that. Just something so chaotic and crazy and Put it on Tamina.
All right. I will say two things. I will say Paige and Emma, you should watch it on the WWE Network on NXT Arrival. It was one of the best diva matches I've ever seen in my life, including all the Trish Stratus and all the Lita matches. It was awesome. Second thing is, I agree. It should just be chaotic and crazy and take up a bunch of time and then move on. I don't care who wins. Honestly, I think AJ is going to win. I don't really care. I'm done with this topic. I'm moving on. All right. So let's go to the Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. My opinion, Undertaker's going to win. No doubt about it. The streak continues 22 versus 0. Brock Lesnar loses, but barely. It's going to make it a big deal. Frankly, I don't care. It's Brock Lesnar. He's showing up for the money. He's going to go home. That's it. End of story. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this is, you know, it's a good matchup. I do like the matchup. You know, finally somebody besides Shawn Michaels and Triple H, no offense to them. But I didn't like the fact that for the last 4 years, you know, he basically rematched guys. And also the fact that Triple H has been incorporated in 3 matches within this streak. So, you know, I was ready for them to mix it up. You know, I thought they were going to go to Brock last year. They ended up going to Brock this year. But I'm with you. Undertaker's just going to, you know, add him to the streak, number 22, because you got to add him to the streak, and then next year, Sting's coming, and Sting's going to end it, baby. I'm ready for it. WrestleMania 31, California, Sting coming. He's gonna end the streak, baby, I'm telling you. Undertaker's going 22-1. I'm making WrestleMania 31 all right. predictions right now.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off right there. Eric, you're an idiot. Exodus, what do you got to say about this?
Well, I think what we should really do is ask Dusty Rhodes here what he thinks about it. Dusty Rhodes, what do you think about it?
Let me tell you right now, this is what I think about Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar.
What do you think, Dusty? Tell us what you think. What you think, black and yellow polka dots? What you think?
This is what I think. I think the Undertaker is going to run all over Brock Lesnar like diarrhea. That's exactly what I think is going to happen in this match. I think that it's not going to be that great of a match. It's going to be like a lot of my matches in the late 80s, really sloppy. I think it's going to look as bad as the gorda on the side of my hip. That's what I think.
All right, so hey, Rhodes, man, while I got you, Dusty Rhodes, the dream, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, while I have you here, can you comment on why your boys aren't going to be at WrestleMania?
I have no comment on that. Nah, I'm just saying, I'm really not sure. You know, I got to talk to Vince about that. You know, it has bothered me. It has bothered me so bad, it produced another scratch, a mark on my forehead. That's how bad it bothered me. That my boys are not in this tag team match, then it's so political, man, because, you know, Carlito's dad is going into Hall of Fame, and I think, you know, because of this deal that they're trying to do with Puerto Rico right now, that they're putting them into this match, and that's what's ousting my boys out of it, which are so much better technical wrestlers, you know, than these Los Tacos guys that are fighting in this match, and Rikishi's farts that are running around in there nowadays.
All right, so talking about the Rhodes brothers, okay? Talking about the Rhodes brothers, this is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, okay? Goldust, Cody, Sin Cara, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, Rey Mysterio, Biggie Langston, The Giant, ADR, Titus O'Neil, Damian Sandow, Mark Henry, 3MB, the tag team partner to Titus O'Neil, Fandango. Yeah. Fandango. I can't even name half these guys because I don't even know them. Fandango, R-Truth, Brodus Clay, Christian, some dude that was an NXT, some white dude that was an NXT. Oh my God, I can barely name half these guys. And that guy who's in charge of Raw right now. Who's the guy who's in charge of Raw?
Yeah, I don't even know his name. I know his name. Face.
But here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing that they haven't named. Here's the thing. They haven't named three of the superstars. So I want you to name three of the superstars who's going to be... San Martino. Whatever his name is. Santino.
Okay? Santino?
Yeah. Santino Morelli. He's going to be in it. But I want you to name three of the superstars real quick. Eric, name me three of the superstars that are going to be in it that I haven't announced yet.
Justin Gabriel. Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder they named.
You did name him?
Yep.
And you named 3MB together, so that doesn't count, does it?
Correct. 3MB are together. They're right next to each other in the picture I'm looking at.
I think you called the Giant the Big Show. Didn't you call it the Big Show the Giant? Is that what you did?
The Big Show is... alive. The Giant's dead. The Big Show's alive. We're not WCW.
Yeah.
We're in WWE.
Yeah, no. You called him the Giant earlier.
Okay, so you named what so far?
Yeah, I named one. I can't think of three other guys.
Justin Gabriel.
Yeah, Justin Gabriel. That's my three. Justin Gabriel.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Exodus, what you got? You got three guys for me?
Yeah, I've got Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, and...
Uh-oh, I hear Matt in the background. Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, and Dude Love. Is that who you're going to name?
They're coming in this battle roll. We're making predictions. I thought you were trying to get me to guess or something. My bad.
No, I want you to make a prediction. Who's going to be the three guys? They haven't named three guys. Who are going to be the three guys that are going to be
in Okay. All right. Diesel coming up in this joint.
Diesel. Okay. Diesel. One. Diesel from Eric. Diesel. One.
Yeah. Justin Gabriel doesn't count because he is already announcing it. Diesel is coming in this joint. Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior has said that he wants to wrestle, so I think they'll throw him in there.
Ultimate Warrior.
Hacksaw always needs some money.
Jim Duggan.
Royal Rumble winner. Yeah, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan. Those are my three.
Okay.
Ultimate Warrior, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan.
You got it. All right. Exodus, what you got?
I gave you my three. I think Hogan is going to try to icy hot patch his way up into this thing.
Okay.
Let's see who else. I think Ric Flair is gonna have a couple Mai Tais and stroll on down.
Woo! Ric Flair, number two.
And I think this is a long shot because I know they're saying he's gonna come after WrestleMania, but I'm gonna say RVD.
D number three. Matt, you in the background back there. You got anybody?
Background. You got anybody? CM Punk. CM Punk is coming.
CM Punk, okay.
JBL, The King, and Michael Cole.
JBL, The King, and Michael Cole. You got it. All right.
My shot is
they're going to be three NXT guys, and one of them is going to be that guy they keep introducing. I just can't remember his name.
Yeah,
we should know about now because they've come out there and Alexander Rusev.
One of them is going to be Alexander Rusev. One of them is going to be, I don't know. Honestly, I really don't care. The Big Show should win. End of story. Let's move on. Really? I mean.
I totally agree.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the tag team four-way, guys. So you got Los Matadores with their little bull dude. They got Real Americans, Rybacksel, and Usos. Who's going to win? In my opinion, I think it is going to be the Usos is going to retain their titles to win. Real Americans are going to split up. Rybacksel is just going to lose, and Los Matadores is going to turn heel. What do you think? Exodus, what do you think first?
Yeah, I think the Usos are going to retain the titles. I don't think it's going to be that great of a match. I mean, I think we'll see some little bit of offline stuff every now and then. But, yeah, I think it's hands down. I'm not going to talk about this too much because I'm not even really looking forward to this match. That's why it's on the pre-show anyway. The Usos are winning.
All right. Eric, what do you think?
I agree with you guys. The Usos are winning. I think you got to keep the titles on them right now. I'm a fan of the Usos. You know, they bring a lot of wrestling tradition with them, you know, with their family background and all that. So, and you know, I like what they're doing with them. I think they should keep the titles on them. You know, and who knows? This might be a match that surprises us. I don't count Cesaro out at all. You know, I think you know he needs to really showcase himself even more in this match. I mean, like he does a lot all the time. But you know, this is his chance to showcase himself before he goes back to being a singles wrestler and hopefully can become a singles superstar because, I mean, this guy is old school and new school all in one. So, yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm with Kimmel, too. Like, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I think Usos are going to win.
All right. I yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Real quick here, Chris, is X. I want to make a fantasy prediction. Like, this isn't going to happen, but I would love for it to happen. All right. So, like, in this match, I would love to see the Real Americans have, like, a mega power split, like Macho and Hulk did, and Swagger get pissed off and just leave the ring, leaving his partner to have to fend for himself, and Cesaro is going to go and win these titles on his own. And so then he's left having to choose who his other tag team partner is. That's what I think should happen. It's not going to happen. I would love to see that happen. But X, if this fantasy is really to come to life, Zeb Coulter has to play the part of Miss Elizabeth and get knocked unconscious, and then Jack carry his fat body back to the back, and they have to, like, perform liposuction on him or something like that. I'm okay with Zeb Coulter getting busted in the face or whatever.
All right. Back to the reality, guys. Back to reality. Forget those WCW crappy days. Okay. all right. So next up is Shield versus Old Age Outlaws, and I say Old Age Outlaws because that's what Exodus likes me to call them.
Yeah.
Old Age Outlaws and Kane. Who do you guys think that are going in? It's definitely going to be Old Age Outlaws and Kane. My prediction: Dean Ambrose turns on his brethren and goes to the side of the Authority. What do you think, Eric? We'll go to you first, man.
Oh man, now you got the wheels turning. I was really leaning towards Shield, but you know that. But we all know the split's coming. So yeah, I think. And plus, my pay-per-view theory is always this: the group or the individual that has the momentum going into a pay-per-view usually doesn't come out with the momentum. That doesn't always work, but I would say 8 or 9 times out of 10 it does. So yeah, I kind of see that happening. I really thought for a while that Shield was just going to win this match, but like you said, I mean, we all know that the breakup's coming. I personally, you know, because I've just been tuning back in for a few months, I personally don't want them to break up yet. I know they've been together a long time, but I don't want to see them split. I think they're really good together, but I'm hoping they win, actually. But you know, I think you might be right. I think unfortunately, I don't want to see them get beat by the Attitude Era, but I think the Old Edge Outlaws and Kane might do that.
All right, X, what do you think, man? You think they're going to be a split, or you think Old Edge Outlaws and Kane are going to get along, or they're going to fight, or what? What do you think is going on?
I believe in a Shield, and
I think that they're going to win. We can't have the split yet. We all know what's going to happen with that. Ambrose, you know, goes on to be a huge superstar, and then they put Ambrose in some kind of weird color, like purple or something, and they put some crazy design on his pants, you know, like they always do that with people when they split them up. They put one guy in a really bad outfit, and they push him another one.
What are you talking about? Wait. Hang on. You have to give me an example to that. You can't just throw out purple colored pants or socks or boots or something and just go, this is what happens. Give me an example. What do you got?
Like the Rockers. Mark Jannetty, man.
That's your example is the Rockers.
That's the only one I can think of. Like Crime Time, man. They made those guys look bad.
Crime Time is your example. Okay.
They broke up Zack Ryder and the other guy, and then they put Zack Ryder in some purple stuff, and that actually worked. So you know, maybe it will.
You guys crack me up.
Yeah.
All right, X. What else you got for me?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the Shield should win. I don't know if they really, you know, I'm trying to believe in them. I believe in the Shield, there's a part of me that feels like that the Attitude Era is going to win this one, and you know, it's kind of funny to me because I think the Old Age Outlaws, they are starting to grow on me. Like I'm like, wow, these dudes look like they belong. Like they don't look like they're high school gym ready or anything like that. Like it's just funny to me because I remember, gosh, it's been 8 years ago now, you know, so like TNA didn't even want to put their straps on them, and you know, WWE is willing to put theirs on them 8 years later, one more time at least, you know, but I like what they're doing with them and everything, but yeah, I think there's a part of me, though, I will say, you know, not to be sort of teeter-tottering on this one, but the part of me that thinks that it could go either way, really, and the Attitude Era win.
All right. We got one last one before the main event, Cena versus Wyatt. So I'm going to go to, let's go to Eric first, and then we'll go to X, and then we'll come back to me. So, Eric, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen in this match? You think it's going to be like a big jumble, or you think Cena's just going to flat out beat everybody, or you think Wyatt's going to win, or what do you think?
I think Bray Wyatt is winning. I think it's time to push this guy. He's an amazing talent, both in the ring, on the mic. You know, he's an athlete, even though he doesn't look like one, and he cuts some of the best promos right now. You said weeks ago when you were up here that, you know, he's the best heel right now, and I totally agree with that. I think it's time to really turn him into one, and you do that by him beating the face of the company, for almost a decade. And I think it would be a huge statement if he's able to do that, and it's just really going to catapult him into being a huge heel superstar. So I think Bray Wyatt should win and is going to win this match.
All right. Exodus, what you think, man?
That's a tough one because I'm wrestling with what I want to see and what I think will actually happen. I have a hard time seeing them, you know, just with being Cena. Like, I know they put The Miz up over him a couple years ago, but I just have a tough time seeing them willing to do that with Bray Wyatt. I kind of see him beating him at WrestleMania. It's like Cena beating Wyatt at WrestleMania. And then, you know, having Wyatt win in the next pay-per-view or something of that nature. You know, like, I struggle with it. But at the same time, though, I think it would make total sense if you want to legitimize Bray Wyatt and get him ready for to fight Taker next year at 31, which is what I think should happen. Sting, I love you, bro, but you look like the Zodiac now. I think if you want to legitimize him and get him ready for Taker next year, then you have him win and you have him beat John Cena. I mean, that's what I think should happen, but I definitely see them kind of, you know, just feeding into the Cena's unstoppable type thing.
Yeah, I really do believe that what's best for business is for Wyatt to win and Cena to go away for a while. I really do. I'm talking like six to eight months away, and then him come back next at the next WrestleMania and pop up and surprise us all. I think it's best for business. I think it's best for Cena, and I think it's best for the WWE for him to go away for a while. I really do. A lot. Now, they might have disagreed with that because I know Cena sells. He sells a lot of T-shirts, and he sells a lot of sweatbands, and he sells a lot of everything, and I understand that. And the business model
and
revolves
around... he's a regular on Total Divas.
And he's a regular on Total Divas. Oh, my God. I agree with all of that. I do. But I have never seen someone be so evil and yet draw a crowd and make a crowd so quiet in an arena so quickly than Bray Wyatt. That man, when he speaks, it's like you're in a trance. It's some of it makes sense and some of it doesn't make any sense at all, but it's still awesome and it's great. And he's got such a charisma and such a, I don't know what he's got. I don't know. He used to be Husky Harris. He used to be a fat kid in these trunks, and he just was able to turn himself around so quickly. And so I want him to win so bad, but when it comes down to it, I don't think he's going to win. I really don't think he's going to win. I hope he wins. It would be, to me, I will be, that's the match that's going to make me on the edge of my seat and go, if Wyatt wins, I will jump out of my seat and I will scream and I will say, yes, finally the WWE have gone with the bad guy again and has allowed reality to come into play. Because honestly, in reality, the good guys don't always win. They don't. And it sometimes it's good because then the good guys can come back stronger. You know, and I just don't see it, though. I really don't. I just don't. With all the kid programming they have coming out right now, I just don't see it. And I'm really sad about it. Yeah, like you guys said last week, I'm really sad about it. I'm really sad about it. So, anyway, moving on. Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. What do you guys think? Just give me a real quick Bryan or Triple H. I don't want to go into it right now. I just want to give a Triple H Bryan real quick. Why not? Exodus, we'll go to you first.
I'm going to go with what I want to see happen, and I'm going to stick with what I want to see happen is going to happen. And Triple H is winning. He's putting Billy Goat Gruff in the mat. He's going to pedigree him. He's going to get a concussion. He's going to turn him over. He's going to pin him. He's going to be done.
All right. Eric, hang on, Hank. Give me a minute. Eric, what do you think?
I think Brian's going to win, actually. I think it's going to be a great match leading into the main event. I think he's going to win because if they don't, the whole WWE Universe is just going to, you know, all the fans in the arena are just going to come out of their seats and just trash the ring and just riot if he doesn't. So
okay.
I think if they're smart, they'll put Brian over.
All right. One more question between both of you. When do you think this match is going to take place? Do you think it's going to be the first match, or do you think it's going to be right before Taker and Brock, or where do you think it's going to take place? Exodus will go to you first. Just tell me where in the card you think it's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen towards the beginning.
Okay.
So the person can recoup for the main event.
Okay. Eric, what do you think?
I see it being a second match. Don't lead off with it. Give it a little bit of anticipation, but make it second match. Give it some good time. I think it needs to be. These guys can work. This can be a really good match before we see whoever the victor is in the triple threat. You know, basically the person that's going to save the triple threat or save the main event.
Pretty much.
Put it first or second. But put it second and let these guys recruit for the main event.
All right, Exodus, Randy versus Batista. What happens when your scenario comes out to play? Who wins the Randy versus Batista? Is it a good match? Is it one of the best matches? Is it a highlight? What is it? You got Randy versus Batista versus Triple H. Who wins? What happens? What goes on?
I think Randy wins. And, you know, a lot of people will probably disagree with me, but this is why I think Randy's going to win. It didn't come to me till last night. It came to me in a vision. No, I was just playing. it came to me last night while I was watching Raw, and they've really been making a big point about And this goes back to what Eric said about, you know, momentum and lack thereof. You know, just having momentum going into something, usually in the wrestling prediction world or in the wrestling world, usually spells that you're like Brock, for instance, getting the momentum going into his match with Taker. That means the streak's going long. So in the same sense, when you're not doing well, you know, it's always like, you know, they put you down, they keep putting you down, making you look bad, lose matches, so you can rise to the occasion. So it kind of to bring that superstar to some sort of focal point. So, like, Randy Orton, they really created a champion that doesn't look like a champion, and I think they want to create a situation in which they bring some sort of glare back to Randy Orton. And because I honestly forget that he's champion sometimes right now, you know, like, with Kmart being a new sponsor, or well, not really a new sponsor, but being a sponsor, I kind of feel like, oh, you're just rocking two Kmart belts down the aisle. You're not a champion. But I think he's going to win, and I think they want to kind of make Randy a little bit of a spectacle again and remind fans that, hey, I'm still here, I'm still a Viper,
okay,
sort of thing. So I think that's what's going to happen. Okay. I think Batista will get knocked out of the ring, roll under it, throw up, and Triple H and Randy will have a little singles match, so that way this match could be sort of good.
All right, Eric. What happens when your Brian wins? Randy, Batista, and Brian, what happens?
Daniel Bryan wins, and the Yes Movement begins. And just because I'm making this prediction doesn't mean I'm all about it. But I really don't see Randy or Batista win right now. Nobody wants Batista to win. If he wins, they're going to riot. Just like I said, if Bryan loses, the same thing's going to happen. People are just going to storm the ring, you know, with torches and yell CM Punk and Yes and all of this other stuff. So that's not happening. Randy, like, I see X's point, but at the same time, man, I just, you know, he's run his course with this title reign at this time. He'll be back. We all know that. But as much as, you know, like, I like Randy Orton. I've been a Randy Orton fan for years, but I guess I'm a Randy Orton mark or whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, I don't think he's winning this match. If he's going to win this match, he needs to show me something. He needs to really put on a spectacular match. Not to say that he's not good. He's a great technical wrestler. He's a great talent. But he hasn't really shown me anything in a while. And it's time for him to do that if he's going to remind us that he's champion. You know, like, I agree with him. He hasn't. You forget that he's champion. But I think whoever, regardless of whether it's Daniel Bryan or Triple H, the third wheel in this triple threat is going to win this match.
Okay.
I think if it's Daniel Bryan, you know, the Yes Movement begins. If it's Triple H, the reality era really, really takes off.
Okay. So here's the thing. Daniel Bryan is going to win. Okay. Daniel Bryan's going to win Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan's going to win Randy versus Batista versus Daniel Bryan. Because the WWE wants that Yes Movement on video for the rest of their lives. They want to show that picture of 90 or however many people can fit in that stadium standing up and putting their fingers in the air and screaming yes all at the same time. That's what they want. They want that. Now, when Daniel Bryan wins the WWE Championship, the Yes Movement dies. End of story. That's it. It's done.
So you think that they're just going to let Daniel Bryan win for the purpose of being able to have the footage so next year they can use it in their video collage and put a YouTube song behind it? Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Yes. 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 Absolutely, I agree. Absolutely. And I believe that when he wins the championship next Monday night, he will get a huge, ginormous pop when he comes out to celebrate. And it will slowly, gradually get lower and lower and lower. And Bray Wyatt's will get higher and higher and higher and higher. And it will just coincide. And the Yes Movement will die. And the Wyatt Movement will begin. Because nobody really, truly wants to see that little midget. As much as he's good in the ring, and I will give it to him, he is awesome in the ring. I've seen that man go. And you guys haven't. I have. I've seen him go with the best.
I would like to.
He is great. He is good. But I do not see him, just like I do not see CM Punk selling out auditoriums. I don't see it. Bray Wyatt can sell tickets. I want to go see Bray Wyatt live. I don't even care if he wrestles or not. I just want to see him talk. I just want to see him say, Atlanta, Georgia, we're here. And I'm done. Take my money. But no one cares. Once Daniel Bryan has a championship, I am telling you guys, the yes movement is going to slowly die lower and lower every single city he goes to. Don't get me wrong. I'm dumb. I could be totally, totally wrong. But I don't believe so. I believe I'm right. I believe that it's going to slowly die because the fans are going to slowly go, well, he's not the underdog anymore. Why are we cheering for him? He's the man now. Why are we cheering for the man?
Yeah, where do you go from there? I mean, I think you bring up a good point. Exactly. Where do you go from there?
Exactly.
The reason that this has been gotten so big is because you have been depriving fans of what they want.
Yep, yep.
And when you finally give it to them, then
they don't know what to do with it.
After that, they get tired of it.
Yeah, they get tired
of
it.
It's like if a kid wants a cookie before dinner and he wants that freaking cookie, then his mom finally gives it to him, then he eats like six cookies and then he doesn't want anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And he gets full, or then he goes and throws up. And that's exactly what's going to happen with the Yes Man. So I can see your point.
I agree. All right. Matt, you're in the background. I'm calling you on the floor real quick. Matt, give us some predictions, dude.
Background.
Come on. I hear you in the background. Come on. You can just, I know you're tired. I know you've been planning a wedding and you've been planning all kinds of stuff, but I want your opinion. You're my twin. I can call you on the floor whenever I want. The Divas match. Who's going to win the Divas match?
The Divas match is going to be Nikki Bella. And okay. Then they're going to set a feud between Bella's sisters.
All right. Undertaker versus Brock.
There's no contest. It's going to be Undertaker.
Tag team four-way, Los Matadores, Real Americans versus Ryback versus Usos.
All of you are correct. It's going to be the Usos.
Okay. Shield versus Old Age Outlaws and Kane?
That's a tough one. Coin flip, I would go with, I think Exodus said it when I was listening. I believe it was going to be a split in the Shield at this WrestleMania, and Kane and the Outlaws going to end up winning because of that split.
All right. Who's going to split?
I think the two are going to turn on to Ambrose and
Rollins.
Rollins are going to turn on
Reigns
and take him out, and that's going to cause
and go wear purple.
He's going to go wear purple.
Cena versus Wyatt.
Cena's going to win hands down. That's not even going to be a contest.
Andre Giant Battle Royal. Now we have heard this multiple times from you.
Correct. Yes, it's
going to
be the big show.
Okay. Triple H versus Daniel Bryan.
It's
going to
be Daniel Bryan.
Randy versus Batista versus Daniel Bryan.
I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. It's going to be Daniel Bryan.
All right. So Daniel Bryan leaves with, let's see, Devil Vamp and Matt say Daniel Bryan leaves WrestleMania with a championship. Exodus says Randy Orton leaves with a championship. And Eric says Daniel Bryan leaves with a championship?
Yeah, it's Daniel Bryan. Okay.
All right, so you got three on Daniel Bryan and one on Randy. Now, Exodus, I will say this. After Raw, I really did believe that Randy Orton was going to be the championship. I really did believe that, but I don't believe that because I believe WWE wants that footage more than they want anything else in the world. I just do.
Well, I'll tell you what I also believe you're going to see this whole system. Like, by the end of the night, there's going to be a new faction formed. The New Age Outlaws are going to turn on Corporate Kane, and during this match, the Shield's going to win.
Are you insane?
Then what happens is Triple H ends up beating Daniel Bryan because Randy Orton comes in and helps him beat Daniel Bryan. Then Triple H goes to the main event, and then Batista lays down for Triple H, does an NWO lay down. And Triple H pins him, and they put the title on Triple H, and then you see the New Age Outlaws come out there with Stephanie, and they form this new faction called Evolution X that combines Evolution and DX. And that's what's happening.
All right. I'm stopping you right there. You're a retard. Okay. So for those who are listening, I got a board game, and it's called the WWE Trivia Game. And I picked it up at my local Toys R Us. And so what it is a bunch of questions. It has attitude error. It has the classic air and it has the modern air in it, and it looks like a Monopoly board with a ring in the middle of it. At four corners, it's WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. If you guys would like to join this, please email me at dsjnp.com@gmail.com. What it is we're going to ask you trivia questions every week, and we're going to ask this panel trivia questions as well. And then the following week, you'll get the answers, and you'll find out where your board is. I'll keep it up at the dsjnp.com Twitter page. So this week, we're just going to ask some questions and find out where the guys land as far as their knowledge. So we're going to do Attitude Error. Again, if you'd like to play the game, we have plenty of pieces for you to play. It's dsjnp.com@gmail.com, or please PM me on Twitter, dsjnp, okay? All right, so we're going to do Matt first. What category do you want? Again, this is just for fun for right now. We're going to start this next week so I can read all the instructions whenever. I just got it a couple days ago, so I haven't had a chance to set it up. So do you want big events, championships, or superstar bio?
Okay, because for a second there, I thought they did a category based on Big E, and I was like, come on.
Yeah, Big E and Vince McMahon, I thought that's what it was. Yeah.
All right, Matt, what do you want?
I will go with Superstar.
Superstar. What was the name of the stable of competitors that included Tatanka Michinoku, Fukunaki, Dick Togo, and Yakuma Shen?
It would be Kai and Tai.
Very good. Very fucking, dude, that was awesome. That was very good. That was awesome, dude. All right, Eric, what you got? Big events, championship, superstar bio.
Championship.
Six superstars competed in the Armageddon Hell in a Cell match for the WWE Championship at Armageddon 2000. Who emerged victorious? That's really hard. Six superstars.
That would be the Rock.
Nope, not the Rock. Anybody else want to guess?
Batista.
Yeah. 2000, dude.
I'm gonna go with Stone Cold.
Nope, Kurt Angle. All right, Exodus. Big events, championship, or superstar bio?
Let me go with superstar bio for 500, Alex.
What superstar would bring a mop named Moppy to the ring with him during 2001?
Oh, man. Bring a mop named Moppy. There's one that comes to mind, but I don't think it's him.
Go ahead.
I mean, my first thought is Al Snow, but I don't think that's him.
It's not him.
I'll say Saturn.
It is Perry Saturn.
Yeah!
Perry Saturn.
Because he was on stuff. All right. I can't believe I pulled that out.
All right, Matt. Who won the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17? Remember the gimmick battle royal?
What battle royal?
I didn't get to pick my category. Big events. This is big events. Who won the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17?
Gimmick battle royal. Was that with all the old superstars?
Yeah, a lot of them had old. Yeah, a lot of them were old superstars. Some of them were new, but a lot of them were old. WrestleMania 17 is said to be one of the best WrestleManias ever.
No, the Iron Sheik.
That is correct. How the hell did you know that?
Eric knew it.
All right. Eric, championships. What superstar defeated The Rock in an empty arena match that aired on USA Network during the halftime of Super Bowl 33?
The Rock and Sock Connection, baby. Mick Foley and The Rock. Mankind and The Rock.
It's Mick Foley.
Mick Foley?
Mick Foley.
Yeah. I said Mick Foley. What's the deal?
You said the Rock and Sock Connection. They were fighting each other.
They were fighting each other. I said they were fighting each other. I said the Rock and Mick Foley.
All right. When you listen to this back again, you're gonna realize how ridiculous you sound. Exodus, big events. Who stunned Vince McMahon by appearing on the latest episode of WCW Nitro to announce that he had made a purchase of WCW?
Shane McMahon
it is. Matt, championships. What star instituted the 24/7 rule when he was the WWE Hardcore Champion, meaning the title would be defended at all times?
It was Edge.
No, it was not. It was Crash Holly.
Hardcore Holly.
Yep.
No, Crash Holly.
Hardcore Holly. Yep. No, Crash Holly.
Yeah,
The little dude.
That's a smaller one.
All right, Eric, this is the last question of the night. Superstar bio. What was the name of the three-man tag team made up of the Rene Dupri, Sylvain Grenier, and Rob Conway?
Robert
Stone. Freaking right, dude. All right, guys. Yeah, I want to thank very much. I want to thank Matt for joining in late. I know you had a lot of stuff to do today, and I appreciate you, man. Again, that's my brother from from my mother. Exodus. Once again, follow him, please. Xedus 4 JC on Twitter. Please follow him. He's got a lot of good stuff to say on there, guys. Check it out. And first time, hopefully not the last time, appearing on the DSJNP.com WrestleCast. Eric, I want to thank you guys very much for joining us. Hope to see you again next week. We are going to do a special WrestleMania podcast, hopefully, if I can get it together. If you want to join the trivia game, it is DSJNP.com@gmail.com or private message me on Twitter, DSJNP on Twitter. Once again, I thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe anywhere and let us know what you feel and what you think. Thank you again, guys. Have a great week.
What the rock? And that's the bottom line.